God is spirit, and he invites us to worship him in spirit and in truth. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus has made a way for us to know God personally and to make him known to the world. And we who know Jesus now make our home together as a spiritual people. We grow together as a spiritual family, and we invite others to worship God in this spiritual house.
Well, good morning, Mosaic. My name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here. Happy 4th of July weekend, day four on this. 4th of July around my house, not all that eventful, which is great because I've got three girls. So we went to a tent and we got poppers, sparklers, and some just simple things like that. Like, I got all 10 still, all right? So not necessarily the case of what happened with my neighbors down the street, because I don't know what was going on down there, but one of those artillery shell kind of things, and then shot into their garage, and when you see people screaming and running, you know, it's like, I want no part of that, all right? That was for back in the younger day, but that did not happen for me. I know when we walked out with sparklers, my 10-year-old goes, now it's the 4th of July. And so I'm like, okay, all right, we can live that way. If you happen to have your Bible with you, go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 2. That's on page 1008. If you're using one of Mosaic's Bibles, if you're using your own, go ahead to Acts chapter 2. Or if you're using a smart device, you can open that up to Acts 2. And we're going to be out of the ESV version so you can follow along. Now, last week, we jumped into this series called This Spiritual House, where Peter paints this amazing picture in 1 Peter about what is going on around them, something that is happening to this early church. And it's not necessarily something that they need to believe and adjust this huge theological understanding, but rather it's just something that God is orchestrating around them and what he is accomplishing. And so in 1 Peter chapter 2, here is what Peter wrote that is really the fuel behind this entire series that we are in. So 1 Peter chapter 2 said this, and starting in verse 5, he says this, "You yourselves, those of us who are followers of Jesus, we've responded in faith to what he has revealed to us, like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now, as inspiring as that is, you have to remember the context that he was writing this letter to, right? These early followers of Jesus are in exile. They're not home. Things are getting increasingly challenging for them. And so they're being persecuted. That things are getting harder relationally, spiritually, economically. Just everywhere they turn, it's getting harder. So when you get words like that, and it's like, oh, you're a living stone and God is building you up into this spiritual house, as inspiring and motivating as that is, when you look around, you're like, I don't feel like that's necessarily happening. In fact, what's really happening is I feel like I'm getting torn down. Not a whole lot of positives going on. And so it would be easy to just kind of settle in and go, clearly Peter's off, even though everything, the scriptures say this is good, but doesn't feel that way. And that's where you and I need to go back and do a spiritual history lesson and remember what God has already said, what he has already promised, what he has already done. And that's where we went to Matthew chapter 16. Let's go to Matthew 16 really quick and look at the words of Jesus. Let's remember what he said. Let's remember what he was set out to do. Verse 13 says this in Matthew 16. "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?'" You guys have been out there. You hear, as we go town to town, people are talking about me. Who are they saying that I am? What are other people saying? And they said, verse 14, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So they're all over the map. They've got all kinds of ideologies, philosophies, all kinds of theories about who he is. And then he asks this. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Big time question right there. Because they've been with him. As they've been moving in and out of these towns, they were there when he engaged the religious leaders. They were there when he performed miracles. They were there when he was preaching and teaching and loving and serving and blessing others. They were there. So he says, well, you guys have been there the whole time. So all these other people have theories and ideologies and philosophies, but what about you guys? Who do you say that I am? And then verse 16, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. So nobody told you this. It's not like we moved into this town and some guy said, hey, do you know that the guy you're running with is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Hadn't thought of that. Next town gets the same thing. Did you know that? They didn't tell him that. But where did he hear this? But my Father, he heard it from my Father who is in heaven. In verse 18, he wraps it up. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, this confession that you just made, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that's exactly what happened, right? I mean, this is good, good, good news, right? Big time stuff. What Jesus said right there, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build this movement, this ecclesia, this gathering of people, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then you back up into what we just read in 1 Peter chapter 2, where he said, you're living stones. We are living stones and we are being built up into a spiritual house to make the plans and purposes of God made known. He takes them, he takes you and you and you and me, and he builds us up into a formidable force that will enact the movement of God in our generation. That's what's going on. And so we left it there last week. That's where we were last week, where we left it, where we said, hey, that's what God is doing. He's building this spiritual house, and he invites us to be part of that. And so we left it there and said, hey, you can make this your home. And so now the next step of the journey is, now that you have made it your home, now what we want to invite you in is the next step of the journey, which is to actually get to know the family here. That you would actually plug into the family here. Because here's something that we have discovered that is so central to the story that God is writing here at Mosaic. We have discovered this, that you and I, we change and we grow and mature as followers of Jesus in biblical community. That's how we are. God uses relationships to help us to become fully committed disciples of his. That's how he does that. He moves in those spaces. The Bible knows nothing of lone ranger followers. In fact, woven throughout the pages of Scripture is this whole idea of being together. And that's oftentimes where you and I get a little bit nervous, right? It's like, okay, we hear the together and all of that. I get that. But Dave, man, I'm telling you, there's a few things that we need to kind of take off the table here. There's religion, there's politics, and there's personal finances. That's the trifecta of leave it alone. Right, we don't talk about that. That's not for anybody else's discussion. Like we leave that alone. Don't talk about that in public. That's kind of stuff that's between me and God, right? We like to leave it there. We like to leave it right there. And because that has become such a predominant thought in our culture, we've adopted this mentality that our faith journey is private. It's a private thing. And it's never meant to be that. But don't just take my word for it. Let's see what Scripture has to say, because Scripture is authoritative here. We need to make sure that whatever it reveals, that it reads us and then begins to set out the path that we should take. All right, so let's see what Scripture has to say about this, this whole together factor. And as we read through this here in Acts chapter 2, here's my challenge to all of us. Let's see the prescription here. Let's see the challenge here. If it lines up more with Lone Ranger your follower, like this is between me and God, or does it sound more like biblical community? We're in this together. Let's go there in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. And they, the early followers of Jesus, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So what does it say? Lone Ranger, together. Where do we side? And so, I mean, clearly, it definitely puts us into this space that if God builds this spiritual house, as he continues to do what he said he would do and build the church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it, right? As we look at that, man, we see this woven into the story over and over, that you and I do this and grow and change and transform in community. And so let's tease this out and dream just a little bit here. Imagine if for the remaining years of your life, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever God may give you, let's say for the next few years that you have, that you leveraged your one and only life in such a way that the message of your life was driven and compelled by the gospel. And you wanted to make much of Jesus wherever you were. And let's say you were so compelled by that Winter Garden began to be transformed. But it didn't stop there, because then other people started joining you because they saw how the gospel impacted you. And it changed your mind, changed your heart, changed your life. And other people wanted in on that. And then you guys started living where Orlando was transformed. And then it spread from there and it went all the way over to Daytona and down to Tampa. And Central Florida was impacted. Pretty soon the whole state was enveloped. And then all of a sudden it starts spreading into the Southeast, up the Eastern Seaboard, over across the Midwest, all the way to the West Coast, starts spilling into Canada, Mexico, then into Central America, South America, then goes over to Africa, Europe, Asia, Australia. The whole world begins to be transformed because you were compelled by the truth of the gospel. But it doesn't stop there. As inspiring as it would be to impact the world, what if it went even beyond your death? Beyond your death. And then 2,000 years from now, people, men, women, and children gathered and heard about how God moved in your spaces and drew you in and moved in unmistakable ways. Imagine if that happened. And you're like, I mean, that's a cool story, but yeah, that kind of stuff doesn't happen. It did. It did. Right there in Acts chapter 2, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And here we sit a couple thousand years later, and we learn about what God did in a unique space there. But he's been doing things very similarly through every generation. And he did this in Acts chapter 2 through people who were far less educated than you are, far less equipped than you are, and far less resourced than you are. I mean, just think about how connected we are. Our phones, we can shoot out an email. We can connect with people on the other side of the planet. Just think about how fast information can spread out. And yet, look what God did in the early church. Look what God did there. It's amazing. And here is, I'm convinced that this is why it happened. Let's go back to the scriptures. Third word in to chapter 2 of Acts in verse 42. Third word in says, and they... what does it say? Devoted themselves. They were devoted to this. All these things that are so amazing in Acts chapter 2. I don't know if you read that and you're like, man, I want in on that. Do you not want in on something like that? Wouldn't you want to be a part of a group of people that had that kind of passion for the gospel? Man, I would love to be a part of something like that. I mean, I'd give my life for that, right? It's like, wow, that's amazing. But here's the deal. You see, all these things were so amazing and so transformative because they marinated in that. They were defined by that. And oftentimes here in 2019, these are not things that you and I marinate in or are defined by. They're just not. They're not. You see, these are things that need to be developed by us just being more sensitive to the Spirit. Because just imagine if we did this. Just imagine if we were able to do this, to take a few hundred of that early church here in Acts chapter 2 and transport them here into 2019 and do life with us. Just walk around with us for a couple weeks, right? Just take a few hundred, come watch how we do life, come with us as we engage in all that we've got going on, that if they were to do that, I'm convinced that together was so woven into the fabric of their understanding of following Jesus, that if they followed us, I think they would be left scratching their head going, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they stay on mission, because they're so segregated, they're so separate, they kind of gather together and then just kind of go do their own thing. It would be so foreign to them. Together was such a core value for them that they became compelling to society around them. But for many of us here in 2019, where we sit today, the whole togetherness factor, it's become optional. It's become optional for us. And so today, the big E on the I chart for us is this, that we want to help all of us understand that we have been invited into this story that God is writing, and we want you to make this your home. And as you make this your home, we want you to get to know your family, to step into biblical community. We want you to do this together. Together, not isolated, to get to know your family in this spiritual house called Mosaic. And here's how this happens here at Mosaic. It happens in two primary ways. The first way is missional community life, and then the other way is through ministry teams, through Serve One that we have here. Let me break those down a little bit. Missional communities, if you're new to the story, here's what missional communities are. They're small groups of people that get together and dive into significant things. They're not sitting in rows like you are today, right now, listening to a talking head. No, they sit in circles where they engage in life. Right? To serve each other, bless each other, learn together, grow together, bear each other's burdens together, and go change the world together. That's missional community life. That's how it works there. Get to know others and they get to know you. That's the first primary way that we have a biblical community here at Mosaic. And another way is through ministry teams. And we have what we call Serve One, where you attend one gathering and then you serve at another. And so at Serve One, what we say is just as you attend one, serve at the other, you join a ministry team where now you're linking arms with people that are rowing in the direction of Jesus and want to make much of him in this generation. So they're finding a way to get involved here so that the plans and purposes of God can be made known in this generation. So you're linking arms with people like the parking team and Mosaic Connect and Mosaic Kids and Mosaic Students and production team, worship team, all kinds of stuff. If you want to be up front in front of people, there's a place for you. If you're a behind the scenes person, there's a place for you. If you don't know where, we can help you throw a dart and find a place. We can help with that. There's all kinds of places where you can connect and build relationships with other people that want to see this spiritual house called Mosaic develop. Those are the two primary ways that we develop biblical community here. Now, just a side note here. Are those, missional community life and ministry teams, are those the only way that you can get connected here at Mosaic in biblical community? No, No, it's not. Not a trick question. No, that's not it. In fact, here's what we would say to you. If you've had a difficult time getting into a missional community or finding a place to serve on a ministry team, here's what we would tell you. That you can now step into community by just going out into the lobby, meeting somebody, see if you have something in common with them, and invite them over and have a meal together and see where it may go. You may could even look around your neighborhood. And as you're walking around your neighborhood, it's like, hey, there's one of those little emblems from Mosaic. There's the dove cross, or not cross, the dove and crown of thorn thing. That's on their window. Yeah, they must go to Mosaic. Hey, I go to Mosaic. Maybe we should hang out. Come over for a meal. Maybe at chapter one, which is our first step into the discipleship process. We learn about where Mosaic's been, what's going on, where we're going. You sit around tables and you get to know other people there. And maybe that's where you're like, hey, let's hang out. Let's have a meal together. Let's see where this might go. You never know what will come of that. All right, you don't have to wait for those other things. You can start into that space now. But primarily, what we're going to see happen in missional communities and ministry teams, that's primarily where we're going to see biblical community established. Right, that's where we're going to see it kind of take off. Now, as I broke those down a little bit, sometimes you can kind of hear that, and it's like, whoa, okay, I see. Then this is going to be hard. Because we are what I called last week committophobic, right? We're averse to commitment. We're like, it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of energy, a lot going on in my life, spending a lot of place at work, a lot of stuff going on at home. Kids are involved in all kinds of things. Maybe you're part of this crew where maybe in the past somewhere in the local church, you've been wounded and something happened there and you're kind of been there. Done that. I don't want to get involved in other people's life because then their junk's going to start coming up and they're going to learn about my junk and don't want that. Don't have time for that. It's going to take too much. I don't want to do that. And so we push away. We push away. Or maybe you've come into contact with this one where you've kind of said in regards to biblical community or serving, you kind of said, well, you know, it's just kind of a busy season of life. We're just taking a break. You ever been there? Now, let me address that really quick. Around here at Mosaic, like, we value soul care. Okay, we understand that in order to be able to engage well in the mission God calls us to, that we have to have healthy spiritual rhythms and we need to take care of our interior life. So we value that here, and we understand in order to do that, there are times where you're going to have a season where you're just going to need to come up for air. You're going to need to take a break. We get that, and that's okay, right? And that's okay. But what happens is, ever so subtly, is that season becomes seasons, and it becomes a habit, and we just get used to kind of pushing that away. But imagine if we did that with other biblical principles that are out there. Like, let's throw prayer on the table there. Imagine if you said, man, you know, life is just so busy right now. It's just so hard to kind of make everything work that we're just taking a break from prayer right now. We'll get back to it. We'll pick it up later. Or reading your Bible. Like, oh, man, I mean, we're spinning so many plates. The kids are involved in so much stuff. And so we just, we understand that God primarily speaks through his Bible, but we just need to take a break from reading the Bible now. If you launch that out to any mature follower of Jesus, they're going to go, no, don't do that. Those are the very things that God will use to help you mature and grow and be transformed in your faith. And we don't do those things so that God will love us, but because he does, we want to engage in those things to know him more and walk with him more faithfully and be used by him to see amazing things happen. That's what's going on there. So why is it that when it comes to community and serving that we're like, optional, you know, we can take a breather from that and then we don't bring them into the same space, even though those are things that God often does use to help us mature and grow and change all the time. 1 Peter 2:5. Again, let's come back to that verse that is fueling this entire series. That God is taking us, living stones, and building up this spiritual house. He doesn't have one stone over there, another stone over there, another stone over there, and we're all kind of doing our own thing. No, this is big time, guys. This is big time. He builds us together to accomplish his plans and purposes so that they would be made known in this generation. And if we dodge that, that is of no value to you. None. And in fact, what happens is if we kind of buy into that thinking that community and serving is optional, whatever so subtly happens is we settle for minimum life change down here when God is inviting us to maximum life transformation. Maximum life transformation. Are you tracking with me there? Because that's where it's at, guys. I mean, I'm just telling you, that's what's going on. Here's what I know from walking this planet almost 49 years, more than half of that in the local church and walking through all kinds of stuff with people. Here's what I know, that marriage gets hard because he wants this, she wants this, communication goes like this, things get sideways, and things get hard. We need other people to speak into that. I also know that finances get jacked up and there's oftentimes more month than money and you're just kind of wondering, where's this all going to go? I also know that kids go off the grid, yeah? Anybody there? And you're like, what are you doing? Not that, but they have a will and a mind of their own. And even though we kind of breathe life into them and try to give them some guardrails, man, they still can take off and do whatever they would like. And often do. And we find ourselves in a space where it's really difficult. There's anxiety and fear that haunts us. And here's this one. Man, we have what Pastor Renaud calls all the time, we have this space that we live on called the planet of death. Right? So here's the facts. That it doesn't matter how many times you go to CrossFit this week. It does not matter how many or how much antioxidant-rich food you ingest this week. None of us are getting out of here alive. I'm not just here. I mean like the planet, all right? So don't worry. Like, you're like, what are you doing? Like, do I need to pay attention to who's behind me here? No. The mortality rate on this planet's 100%. And you're like, man, I came in here, Dave. I was super encouraged. This is like my fourth day off. I had hope. I was ready to be encouraged, and you just blew it. Like, evaporated all hope out of the room. All right, not my intention. Man, I'm not saying that everything in this world is crummy and horrible. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, there are many things to be celebrated. Tons of good stuff in this life that God just blesses us with. But it doesn't matter whether it's good or bad or anything in between. Are you aware of the ways that God tangibly shows up and blesses and serves and engages with us? You know how he does that? Through us. Through the local church. Through the spiritual house that he is building up. That's how he most tangibly reaches out and serves us and takes care of us. That through a collection of people called the local church, that some people came to somewhere just like this and they made this their home. And then what they did is they got to know their family and they stepped deeper into relationship and they began serving together and they began loving each other and blessing each other and learning from each other and they began bearing each other's burdens. And then they stepped into the world and they began to change the world and they did it all together. And if you've ever plugged into together in a missional community way, like in a small group of people that are rowing in the direction of Jesus, or you've ever been on a ministry team that was just firing on all cylinders, and you're like, man, this is great. This is where it's at. It's no longer just this place that we go, but you actually look forward to coming to gatherings because you get to see your friends, the people that you connect with, and you're all united to make sure that the message of Jesus is made known. Man, if you've ever tasted that, and you know what I'm talking about, you know what's up. You're like, oh man, I love that. I love that. Back to Acts chapter 2, what's it say? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then down to verse 45, they were selling their possessions. Stuff that I'm sure they would like to have kept. But they're like, oh no, one of my brothers and sisters over here in the faith, they don't have. And so they sold it so that they could take care of them. Wow. Day by day, they came to the temple together, came to grow and to change, breaking bread in their homes, had meals and shared meals together and laughed together and prayed together, and the favor of God was on them. Life was so different for them. And so if you've ever tasted and seen that, you're like, man, I love that. And so we press deeper into that, right? We want to experience that again. And if I'm honest with you, there have been times in my life where it went really well, where I got to experience that and it was awesome. And then there are other times it didn't go so well. Doesn't always happen great, right? You're like, oh, let's connect with these people. Didn't really work. And then there are other times where it's kind of in between. It's like, it's better than nothing. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just how it works. I don't want to give off the impression that every time you step into community, it's going to blow you away. It doesn't always work that way. But it doesn't mean that we just sideline it either. We want to press deeper into that and go, well, if that's what you say, if that's how I mature, if that's how I grow, if that's how I'm transformed, God, then I'm going to keep pressing into it, because sometimes you hit the jackpot, guys. I know we did with some of the most precious, most important people on the planet to us. And their name is Ray and Heidi Powers. Ray and Heidi Powers, we lived in Omaha for about 10 years. 9 of those years, we got to do life together with Ray and Heidi. And they're just awesome. We got to study the Bible together. We got to cry together. We laughed together. We went to football games together. Our kids played together. We went on some vacations together. I mean, we did life with these people. Guys, these people are in our will. They're in our will. If something happens to me and Gina, our kids go to them. And if they're listening, I hope they remember that, because Ray and Heidi, they're yours. But these people are of great value to us. And I remember the call that I got when Ray had a transfer and he was moving his family to Rhode Island. And I remember taking that call and I was like, oh, man. And then I got the privilege to be able to pick them up at their house and then take them to the airport and drop them off as they flew to where they were moving to. And a few days later, I got this email, and here's what Ray wrote. He said, hey, it was great to hang out with you and the family, because the day before they left, we hung out together, ate lunch together, spent some time together before they went back to their family and then were jetting out. So, hey, it was great to hang out with you and the family. I remember when we moved from Omaha, I was looking for a driver to take us to the airport. And I didn't want a family member to drive us and drag out the emotional roller coaster. And so you drew the short stick. And as we hugged and I walked toward the terminal, it gutted me. And it was then that I realized you were family. I just teared up typing this. We look forward to many more family reunions with the Hollands. I believe God will have us serving alongside each other again someday. Your brother from another mother, Ray. I love him. I love that family. I've got their back and they've got our back. We've continued to stay in contact with them. I talked to him multiple times throughout the month. We talk about all kinds of things, spiritual things. We talk about, you know, football. We're both Husker fans. We have hope again. And so we talk about how the family's doing. We talk about all kinds of stuff. And we will continue in that relationship. And who knows what God has for us. Maybe someday we will be able to serve again soon. But man, we love that family. And you're like, oh, but that's you, Dave. That happened for you because you're a pastor. That kind of stuff happens for people like you. But it's not ever happened to me. Hey, it's not just for me. I'm sure there are many people in here who could share similar stories. We got a front row seat to what happened in our missional community. Many of you guys may know Blaine and Crystal Pitts. They lead the missional community that we are in, and they lead busy lives. Crazy busy. Blaine is a physician. Crystal is a mom of 4 kids. That's right, 4, not 2, but multiples of, because it's Mosaic. And so that's how we do things here. And so she also has a part-time business that she does. They're coming and going, but they're very regular here, and not uncommon to see them at a gathering, and then they're plugged in as missional community leaders, and they also help out at Buddy Break. Always going, always moving. Life is moving and shaking for them. And then a few weeks ago, Crystal was not feeling well, And so Blaine took her and their baby boy, one-year-old boy, to the hospital, to the ER, and then it was there that they discovered that she had meningitis. And so then there was somebody from our missional community, Jen. Jen goes to the house, picks up the girls, takes them to VBS, drops them off, picks them back up, takes them back to her house. Blaine brings Elliot, their son, their one-year-old, to Jen and Jared's house. They watch the kids all day, well into the night, show back up at Blaine and Crystal's house, drop the kids off, get them ready for bed. Then Jen goes into overtime, and she steps in and starts lining out childcare because life's going to be hectic because now Crystal is admitted to the hospital. Blaine's a physician, got a lot going on, spinning a lot of plates. How are they going to make it all work? So she lines up childcare, but that wasn't the only person that then stepped in, because we had Jeannie Autry and Julie South that stepped in and planned meals for the family. In one day, 2 weeks worth of meals ready to go. I went to go sign up the next day, and I was like, oh, we should probably bring a meal. Couldn't bring them. They were all taken, you know, and I was like, wow, that was amazing. And then one, the first meal that got taken to the Pitts family was by Jeannie Autry, and her and one of her granddaughters had put together this awesome meal, and it was right on the heels of Elliot, their son's birthday, and so he just turned one. Crystal's in the hospital, didn't get to spend the first day with her son, got to FaceTime him, sing over that, and then Jeannie shows up with the meal to drop off to the family, and here's what Crystal said. Jeannie Autry brought that first meal and also included birthday party supplies for Elliot and a gift for him, as well as goodie bags for all three girls. Who thinks of that? Clearly not a guy, but you know, like, but somebody with the gift of hospitality. Somebody who's like, man, what a great way to love and serve and engage, just like it happened back in Acts chapter 2. Right? And then it didn't stop there, because people in our missional community were constantly checking in, as were other people, as they're giving rides and taking them to and from places. And then, man, my phone's blowing up. How's Crystal? How you doing, Blaine? What happened? What's the results from this? All these texts just blowing up and trying to figure out what's going on so that we could be praying for her. And here's how she wraps it up. She says this: Nancy and Dolores, who are two women that are in our missional community, were meeting to pray. Nancy was regularly sending me scripture and praying it over me. Many others were also praying for me. Being loved and served so well by our church community felt very natural, because we've been living life together for years. But it was also very humbling to see so many people we love drop everything to help us however they could. They didn't even think about it. They didn't even ask. They just did it. Acts chapter 2 is happening in our midst. People are stepping into biblical community. And I want to share something from a quote from Charles Spurgeon. He's a pastor from the 1800s. If you don't know who he is, doesn't matter. He pastored a church called Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, and he was preaching to a congregation of 10,000 back in the day before microphones. Okay, so just imagine a room twice this size, no amplification. I mean, this guy was a gospel beast. He knew how to take care of business. Here's what he said. He said this: give yourself to the church. You that are members of the church have not found it perfect, and I hope that you feel almost glad that you have not. If I had never joined a church till I had found one that was perfect, I would have never joined one at all. And the moment I did join it, if I had found one, I should have spoiled it, for it would not have been a perfect church after I had become a member of it. Still, imperfect as it is the dearest place on earth to us. All who have first given themselves to the Lord should, as speedily as possible, also give themselves to the Lord's people. How else is there to be a church on earth? Yeah. We, the people of God, living stones, have been gathered together by our great God and Savior Jesus to be built up into a spiritual house, the local church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. We are inviting you to make this your home And then as you make this your home, whether it's just now starting or you've been here a while, that you would even go deeper, press deeper into biblical community by getting to know your family here. That is what the invitation is today. And so now, if we would be so bold as to just ask God for the wisdom of what He would have us do next, and then the courage to actually go do it. Could you imagine what would happen if we actually prayed that? God, show me what you want me to do next. Show me what you want me to do with this information that I've garnered today. Show me what you have, and then give me the courage to actually go do that. If we actually prayed that and then stood back and watched what God would do in unmistakable fashion, I think we would be blown away as He, and only He, builds this spiritual house. And you and I get to make this home. And we get to step in deeper to biblical community and be changed, transformed, matured right here as a gift of God. Let's pray. God, it is an amazing thing that you have done to build your church. And we are just a small gospel outpost of what you're doing globally, what you have been doing, what you are, and what you will continue to do. And it is our privilege to be able to join you in your work, to think about what you started back in those early days where you said you would build your church in Matthew 16. And then we see it continue as Peter writes to people in exile that were being persecuted, that they were still being built up in the midst of difficult times into a spiritual house that would make the gospel known in that place. And then here we read about in Acts chapter 2, things that we read that we long for. God, would you make that so here? Would you convince us? Would you move in unmistakable fashion so that we would take the margin in our lives and not fill it with more stuff that would not allow us to engage in biblical community and opportunities to serve and link arms with other people who want to make the gospel known in this generation? Help us to learn to say no to some things so that we can step into what matters most to you and what will help us become a more fully committed disciple of yours. And we need your help with that. We need you to change our minds, which then changes our heart, which then flows out of our lives and begins to transform those around us. So we avail ourselves to your plan, and we want your purposes to be made known here. So as you build up this spiritual house called Mosaic, and you welcome us into that space, God, I pray that you would show up in unmistakable fashion so that you and you alone get the glory, Jesus. And we find incredible joy participating in the story that you are writing here. Help us. Give us the wisdom to know what to do next. And then the courage to actually go and to live as you have called us to live. And it is for the precious and powerful name of Jesus that we pray these things. Amen.